Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 92, that first full paragraph, starting with, if you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, little chance he can recover by himself. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Audrey C., 12 Traditions, Mary P., readers of the text, Ann S.C.H., Dana P., and Becca R. The reference number for Monday, April 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,363. That's 22363. And for this morning, Tuesday, April 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,365. That's 22365. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Chanel T., and Becca R. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Audrey C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. I'm Audrey C., a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey C. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA is fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-profit, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 92, the first paragraph. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, little chance he can recover by himself. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Anne SCH to read and then share with us. Star one, Anne.
I'll try that again. Good morning, everyone. This is Anne SCH in BC, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered by the grace of God. Today's reading. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental conditioning surrounding the first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book, unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him possibly that he can. If he is not too alcoholic, but insists that he is severely afflicted, there may be a little chance he can recover by himself. So this is a gold mine of in this chapter of working with others in terms of direction from the Big Book. And, you know, like it's there's so many key phrases in here, real alcoholic, queer mental condition, first drink was willpower. But the warning of don't refer to this book, that has resonated with me in a recent event that I went to where I had just started my recovery journey and working the steps. And I was approaching with someone that I knew who came up to me, and we started standing together to approach the banquet table, buffet table. And she started expressing to me her fear of going near the desserts. So that's when I started telling her about my story. And she already had my contact information, so she followed up with me a couple of weeks later and wanted to hear more. And as soon as I mentioned the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, she was so appalled and so scared of even thinking of her addiction to sugar, which she willingly admitted to as we were walking towards the buffet table, that this was like her totally pulling back. And the lesson for me in this comes in the direction that comes in the following sentences, which is, it wasn't that I was branding her or anything like that. I later discovered that she had a cake decorating business. So this was like, in a way, her discussing desserts was part of her world. So for me, the direction is in terms of working with others, in terms of prospects, in terms of working with sponsees, is to the other comment or other sentence in here is, let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea he can still control his drinking, tell him he possibly can. So there's a real kind of the next two sentences at the end of this paragraph really is a direction in terms of how to talk with people initially that they are struggling to come to terms with their own alcoholic foods and what those are, and in fact determining whether they're an actual compulsive overeater or not. And so I guess in this paragraph, I'm really eager to hear whatever anyone else has to share. And thank you for this opportunity for letting me serve today. And I pass.
Thank you so much, NSCH. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I have Barbara W., and who else would like to share?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Margaret O.
Margaret.
From Connecticut.
Oh. Okay.
Donna. Maria C.
Okay, hold on one
Jeannie
second.
Jeannie N.
Sonia A.
Maria C. Okay, and Sonia. Okay, Sonia H., I believe?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I did miss someone
Donna
in there. I have...
I think it was Donna B.
Okay, Donna B.
Jeannie N.
And Jeannie. And let's go ahead and stop there. Okay, let me know if I miss anyone. I have Barbara W., Wendy B., Margaret O., Maria C., Sonia H., Donna B., and Jeannie N. Did I miss anyone? Beautiful. Well, this is a fantastic lineup. Let's go ahead and start with Barbara W. Your 3 minutes start now, followed by Wendy B.
Okay. I'm Barbara, and a grateful compulsive overeater. When I first heard about OA and people were telling me about it, I had my ideas about it. I was delirious about coming into the program because I didn't want to talk about my problem and I didn't want to let go of sugar and starch because that was the drama for me, sugar and starch. And when I came in and I got started and I had relapse. I didn't stick with it. I had a couple of relapses. Sometimes we all go through these phases when we're younger. When I was younger, it was different. But now that I'm older, I realized that I'm getting older, and I realized I have to work with my health conditions, and that's what got my idea. And it's not the my mother said, that's terrible. You wait till you have to get sick. I said, I'm not sick, Mom, but she said that at least you got started. But I wasn't ready. If you're not ready, you're not ready. I got ready when I got older. Maybe that was God's will for my destiny, that I would be able to wake up. I didn't wake up at a young age. I woke up when I got older. And I got in the program and everything and start working it. And people had so much compassion for me. They helped me. They loved me. They told me the truth. They told me what I didn't want to hear. I didn't like it. But it was from, it was the best thing that would ever happen to Barbara. So this is what I'm doing now. The people that want to come into the program and they want to get the idea of recovery and the basic and the principles of it, when they are ready, there's no need for me to rush anybody. There's no need for me to have an attitude about them. Just take my time and tell them when they're ready, they're ready. And even a good sponsor, I feel, a good sponsor has patience. And a good sponsor will let go, let the baby grow, and give it time. Because this program, for me, it took a lot of time for me. People had so much patience for Barbara. This is the reason why I let go of other people. And I say, I'm here when you need me. I'm here when you're ready to call. But we got to go back, and we got to do it again. We got to go back, and we got to keep doing it again. And this is the way it works until we get it. When we get it, we got it. That's what happened with me. When I was able to get it, I had it. And I was able to share it. And I was able to tell them about this terrible sugar and starch and the things that we go through every day with this sugar and starch. So I'm thankful. I'm glad to be here. So I'm finished sharing. I won't take up too much time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Wendy B., it's your turn to share, followed by Margaret O.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I love the caution, you know, to not refer to the book, you know, to not use the book, you know, to lecture or preach at someone, you know, but to share my personal experience, giving them an opportunity to identify, you know, since lecturing usually causes someone to close off and shut down, or at least did to me. And I also love the reminder that I can't brand or label someone else's disease. The others, you know, who behave around food like I did as addicts, you know, as an onlooker, I see someone, you know, over, you know, with the food and eating more than their body can burn. You know, I see them as a compulsive overeater, but they might not be. And you know, my role isn't to label them, but to share my experience and let them draw their own conclusions. And just to keep the door open for them, not to label them as in denial, you know, but to graciously allow them, you know, allow them to try to control it, you know, to experiment as much as they need to. And they might never become willing to address their food issues and embrace change, and that's okay. You know, it's their life and it's their journey, and I can't fit them into my mold. And, I'm just grateful I have a fellowship of like-minded fellows who are embracing this program of change and growth. And it's so comforting to not be doing this alone. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Margaret O., it's your turn, followed by Maria C.
Hi, this is Margaret O. from Stamford, Connecticut. Thanks so much, Dawn, for moderating and everyone who's doing service today. Great paragraph. I really need to hear that my thinking is not necessarily the case for somebody else. So one of my character defects is thinking that, you know, God put me on the planet to set everybody straight. You know, like they all need my two cents and everybody's just hanging on my opinion. It's like, no. So when I see people who are overweight, you know, morbidly obese, or and my heart goes out to them and I want to help them. And I was just in a doctor's office yesterday with an assistant who was taking my blood pressure and things. And she said, do you have any allergies? And I said, yeah, it's on my chart that I'm allergic to sugar. And she said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, yeah, when I eat sugar, it's a funny thing. I have an allergy of the body. And once I start eating it, I can't stop. thinking that she might like say, and I said, yeah, I'm in a program for compulsive overeating. And she kind of just said nothing. I think she felt like she was maybe I was trying to recruit her or trying to, you know, and I just have to be careful there because I don't want people to, you know, be insulted or to miss out on, you know, pursuing OA if they've heard of it because I'm making a judgment about their body size, you know, so this is a good reminder. But this, show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. And that is such a powerful sentence because when I ingest something that triggers the allergy, it dismantles the normal functioning of my willpower. And it's not a, you know, a flaw in my character. It's just I am helpless around it. And so I know that it's like you recoil as if from a hot flame because I just don't want that experience and all the domino effect that it causes, you know, in a potential relapse. So yeah, it's a good, really great and powerful paragraph. So thanks for listening and God bless.
Thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Maria C. It's now your turn, followed by Sonia H. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Sure thing. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. My name is Maria C. in Los Angeles, California. It's great to be with everybody today, and I'm enjoying this paragraph, too. I have to remember this paragraph a lot when I'm working with people and they are getting started at the very beginning, sort of step zero, step one kind of work. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can if he is not too alcoholic. If you're as bad as me, there's little chance you can recover by yourself because I do start working with people who come to that conclusion. And, you know, maybe they're not. And if so, I hope not because, you know, it takes this disease is a killer. And if you can find an easier, softer way, by all means, go for it. But I use it a lot. And I think, looking at this paragraph helps me not play the savior when it comes to working with brand new people. That if they decide to go out there and do something, they decide they don't want to listen to me, that's fine. In fact, I'm supposed to let them. It's their life, not mine. I also appreciate the drawing known conclusions that we're all talking about with people outside in the world because, you know, the book talks about for alcoholics, moderate drinkers and heavy drinkers. And then true alcoholics. I do personally see people in my life that are moderate eaters or heavy eaters, but probably not addicts, compulsive overeaters like I am. And, you know, learning about nutrition can help them. Medications can help them. Not everyone is, sugar isn't evil for everybody, but I am allergic to it. I am addicted to it, and for me, it is killer. And so when I find someone who, when I say those sentences, goes, whoa, okay, and wants to listen, then I share. So thank you, guys. I'm really enjoying this discussion this week. I hope everyone has a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Maria C. from California. Sonia H., please share with us, followed by Donna B. if you happen to be just joining us on the line. We're talking about page 92, that first full paragraph that starts with, if you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, little chance he can recover by himself. So, Sonia H., please share, followed by
thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for your service. I really like this reading today. Well, almost all the readings, but like this reading today because I get to show from my own experience what this disease has done to me. And I get to dwell on how I felt hopeless when I first came in. And what I also like is that I don't get to brand someone else. You know, that is a habit that I had, sometimes still struggle with, to brand other people with whatever I think that they are or not, but to let them draw their own conclusions. And it's important for me to remember that when I came into program, when I first walked in, no one labeled me with anything. I got to sit and listen to the meeting and the meeting. And I didn't think that I was too much of a compulsive overeater to stay. You know, I walked out. But OA still was an imprint in my brain. It still felt like a safe place to come back to. No one was pushing anything on me. And when I came back years later, then I realized that I could not do this by myself, that I could not control my eating. You know, I got to go out and try other things and before I came to that conclusion. And to me, that was only the way that I could accept this program, was to realize that nothing else was going to help me. And I need to most definitely offer that to other people as a dignity of choice, right? They get the right to choose what their condition is, and they get the right to choose what path works for them in order to deal with that condition. And so I am so grateful for the shares today. Everyone has been so much of a tool for me to use in the future as I work with others. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Sonia H. Donna B., it's your turn to share, followed by Jeannie N., and then I'll be taking some more names. And please let us know, Donna, where you're calling from.
Thank you. My name is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. And today, this paragraph really resonates with an experience that I've recently been going through. For those of you who may know me or recognize me, this is the first time I've introduced myself as a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I didn't know I was a restrictor. There were some pretty obvious clues. I did have a food plan that was based on macros. So, for example, it said 6 ounces of fruit. And for about 8 years, the only fruit I ever ate was apples. And it said 1/3 cup of carbs. And for about 8 years, the only carb I ate was quinoa. And for my protein, I think that I have eaten enough salmon to be a serious candidate for mercury poisoning. And one day it was revealed to me that I was restricting in terms of volume and in variety. And I hit a bottom all by myself. I was able to see that my life was that when it came to feed food, my options were either to be in pain or in fear. And I don't want to say that nobody told me. I don't want to say that my sponsor didn't tell me or my fellows didn't tell me. There were messages. I just didn't hear them or didn't want to hear them. And so this idea of having the opportunity and the dignity to brand myself really made a difference in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Jeannie N., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Talking about page 92, the first paragraph, if you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, little chance he can recover by himself. Jeannie N., please share.
Hi, everyone. This is Jeannie N. I really like this paragraph. I would try to focus, like it says, on the hopelessness of the disease, the mental twist, and I didn't know about that mental twist in the beginning when I first came in, not at all, not until I came into vision. And now, I mean, even with neutrality, occasionally just a slight little thought may come in, and I have to go to God right away with that. It's on page 5, how the cycle works, you know, how the obsession starts. And the mental twist can be so subtle, and it says little things like, you know, maybe you can have this. It's not going to hurt. You've been abstinent for a week. You know, you've been abstinent for a month. And, you know, and then if the person picks up the, you know, it triggers the allergy, and then the cycle starts all over again. And, it also states that we shouldn't tell them, and it really emphasizes that, I like that, that whether they're a real alcoholic or not, they have to be the ones to decide. I try not to get into the book, you know, just yet after that. I also try to share my stories, and I have to remember to do that. Sometimes I forget, not too often, but sometimes I forget, you know, how the hopelessness, my hopeless experiences, and again, I just thought of it. It's so, this disease is so hopeless, you know, there's no escape. Except to go to my higher power, and again with that, when that mental twist comes in, even if it's slight thought, I have to go to my higher power and do a 10-step. Getting back to my story, I have to tell them like things like, you know, the garbage. I would put food in the garbage not to eat it. And then sometimes I would even put soap on it. But by golly, I get back into that garbage, wipe it off the soap, and eat it. I can remember. I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No worries.
I'll just say this real quick and wind up. I can remember a doctor when I first came into program screaming at me because I had just binged before I got in there. And why did you do this to you? Look at what you did, your stomach, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you, everybody, for their service.
Thank you, Jeannie N. Did you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Sure, New Jersey, and I love phone calls.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeannie. All right. Well, I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Who else would like to share? Press star 1. A great paragraph. Oh, Okay, Wendy, why don't you go ahead and share, and then we'll take some more names while people are thinking about it.
Yes. Okay, great. Thanks, Dawn.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater. Oh, boy, grateful. First of all, like, right, I spent my life putting people in boxes, right? I'm going to determine and tell them who they are, right? And the thing about this program, and this is my dog, so I'm going to keep moving. The thing about the program is when people say, what is OA? And I say, oh, it's a program where I learn how to treat people. That's what it is, right? That's one of the things, like, what is my assignment from God? Treat people well. And then it says, and I'm just going to share it because I'm going to, it talks about the, you know, the clear mental condition, right, that twist of the mind. And, you know, more about alcoholism, I call it more about lying. And the other night I had a this hilarious, queer mental condition, basically lying, right? Like, so I, on a date, because I was nervous, that's my excuse, I ordered a skinny margarita. And so because it had the word skinny in it, it meant that it didn't have any sugar in it or probably even alcohol. And I knew, of course, that it did. You know, it's like gin and the whiskey. Like there was, you know, some foggy notion, some bizarre notion. Anyways, so this is what I did. So I got home because I had to tell my sponsor. I got home and I looked up the ingredients of the skinny margarita like 10 different ways. It's like, you know, because I wanted it to say like zero sugar or like 2 grams or something like that. And it kept not saying that. And I kept saying to myself, well, how can I control and enjoy my addiction? How can I control and enjoy the sugar that was in that drink? Or even, let's be honest, checking out a little bit because I'm on a date and I want to alter my state, right? I want to say, God, I've got this. You don't have to be here. You know, I'm good to go. And, it, you know, it's kind of like, it's like anything. Like, well, you know, if I did something, quote, wrong, I'll call 10 of you guys until one of you tells me I didn't do it wrong, right? So we have a thinking problem. Every time it says drinking in this book, it's thinking, right? It's my thinking. It's what's between my ears, right? And guess what? God knocks on my door really quickly and says, honey, this is more about lying again for you. You've been lying. You've got to tell your sponsor, and you've got to own the truth about the situation, you know, and I've got to do that. Nobody else is going to tell me how this should go down. And in fact, if one of you tells me, oh, you can't have a skinny margarita, that has sugar in it, you know, if somebody said that to me, I'd probably, like, you know, whatever, laugh it off or really probably never talk to them again, right? But I came to the conclusion that I absolutely broke my abstinence in doing that. And I get freedom when I say I broke my abstinence, right? And the sponsee gets the freedom to declare whether or not they are this thing, you know? But we,
time.
You know, thank you so much, Dawn. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. So we're talking about page 92, that first paragraph. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, little chance he can recover by himself. So I'll take a list of names now. We do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Mary Lee Radka in Oregon.
Mary Lee R?
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Who else would like to share? Press star one. We're just looking for what this paragraph means to you in your recovery.
Susan H.
Susan H. Very good. Thank you. Who else?
Rob H.
Rob H. Thank you so much. And I'll take one more. Oh, you know what? That's a good lineup. Let's stop there. So Mary Lee R., please share with us, followed by Susan H. and Rob H. Go ahead, Mary Lee. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you, moderator, and everyone who's shared so far. So today is Earth Day, and in 1970, I was pregnant with my daughter, and I'm laughing because I was told that, you know, a certain amount of weight gain was acceptable, but apparently the amount of weight gain that I had was not. And my regular obstetrician wasn't there, and his other person. Anyway, in indelible ink, he wrote on my belly, "I am a fat pig." And talk about guilt and shame. Anyway, fast forward. after my daughter, I was a flight attendant, and she was the first legal baby born to a flight attendant. And some of my friends started sending me books, When Food is Love, and just not so subtle references to you need to change your lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't until I was ready that I was ready. And someone gave me a book called From the First Bite. And that was written by one of us. And I could understand my addictions to sugar, flour, wheat, and volume. And it's been a pretty amazing journey since then. And I've hit a few, and I love what the person just before me shared about, you know, help. I need help. And so gratefully, I have a divine director in my life that I give thanks to. And I have a fabulous sponsor, and I love being on this meeting and listening to how people do it. And when I'm with someone that does what I did, then it had more meaning for me than a book or, you know, anyway, I'm babbling. Thank you so much for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. And just a quick reminder that we keep our comments to the topic and literature we are discussing and not mention outside resources. But thank you so kindly. And Susan H., it's your turn to share, followed by Rob H.
Hi, I'm Susan H. from Colorado, and really grateful to be on the line this morning. I like this paragraph about, someone said it earlier, you lose the normal, I don't have it in front of me anymore, but the normal willpower. And I think that's so helpful because that really gives me a benchmark of what is addiction versus not. Through food or anything else, if I can normally have willpower in certain things and then I can't with something else, say an ingredient or a behavior, that's something interesting. And someone said it's something I need to talk to someone about. And I loved what was shared about, I'll call 10 people and see who will agree with me and tell me that I can do what I want. And that behavior is so perfect to say, oh, okay, this is not good. but I thought what came to mind for me on this paragraph was how much control is part of the disease. And when I want to control other people and label other people and make everybody else a food addict just like me, and I, you know, I want everybody else to solve it the way I solve it because it's going to justify what I'm trying to do, that can be a very dangerous place. And I learned about OA from my mom, and I'm sure she knew I was a compulsive overeater. I know it for a fact, but she never said a word. And she would just openly share about her experiences. They weren't even to me. It was just to our family so we could support her. And I would follow the food plan when I could. I wasn't abstinent, but like I would do it regularly just because I found it was like a really nice way to feel good and healthy. And then of course on the weekends, you know, in college I would just binge eat and it was terrible. But I learned, like, wow, when I do this, I feel really calm and nourished and normal. And that was really helpful. And so I think just having a role model is helpful, but trying to control other people is not a good place to be. But being willing and open and share to serve others and share experience, that's a great place and that's very peaceful. And so, you know, today I'm feeling very peaceful and grateful and glad to be on the line. Thanks, Susan H., compulsive overeater.
Thank you so much, Susan H. Rob H., it's your turn to share.
Thanks, Rob H., New York, compulsive overeater. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding the first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it, and be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can if he is not too alcoholic, but insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. If I'm satisfied that this other person is a real compulsive overeater, try to dwell on the hopeless feature of compulsive overeating. So the hopeless feature for me, I guess, was just because I was going for the food so much, I made, you know, probably a lot of mistakes in my life. And just, you know, in general, stayed away from other people and relationships. And so, you know, I was pretty much a lone wolf and still am in a lot of ways. But I guess that can feel kind of hopeless sometimes, like when you're lonely and everybody else is out doing things with their friends. It's like, well, what am I doing? You know, I'm not doing anything. I'm just, you know, either watching TV or eating or going online or something. So, you know, that feels hopeless, you know, thinking about that, you know, and I'm trying to get back into relationships with people now, you know, after being recovered for a little bit. Show him from my own experience how the mental condition, the queer mental condition surrounding the first drink prevents normal functioning of willpower. So for me, the first bite. So if I take a bite of my alcoholic food, what's my experience with that? Is the last time I did it, it was almonds. And, you know, I said I was going to have the recommended dosage, whatever you want to call it, recommended amount. And, you know, I couldn't stop with that. And, you know, I would eat the whole bag, you know, and I did that a couple times. That's the only thing that comes to my mind from that right now. But like I said, I didn't want to keep eating it, but I couldn't stop myself. I did want to stop eating it, but I couldn't stop myself. So don't refer to the book. Don't brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. Can control his drinking? Possibly can. He's not too alcoholic. But insist, maybe little chance. Yeah, so this is telling the newcomer or telling the person that you're trying to sponsor, you know, if he's a real compulsive overeater, that he has little chance to recover only by himself. So I can't do it by myself. I need a lot of people. So
time.
Thanks. I pass. Rob from New York.
Oh, thanks so much, Rob. Great way to end the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. We so appreciate it. So appreciate you being here with us and sharing this life-saving. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Dawn, I will. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my friends and fellows. This is Dana P. I live in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.